Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, Randy Thompson joins us. She's the state director for the National Federation of Independent Business, here for the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Before the masks, before the distancing, before the world changed, UMC was ready. Our response to COVID-19 began before the crisis did, with our own team of infectious disease experts who've spent their careers planning for this moment. With a pandemic response plan, we'd practiced again and again, and by blazing new trails in large-scale testing, including every patient we admit. Always ready. UMC.
As you know, Reno is booming. Toll's development company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Toll's development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. tollsdevelopment.com.
I'm Jeff Gehrman, an investigative reporter with the Las Vegas Review-Journal. I'm your guide for season 2 of Mobbed Up, The Fight for Las Vegas.
You're in with every gangster and hoodlum in the United States.
I don't go for that, Mr. Kennedy. I don't go for that kind of action.
I was on television accused of fronting for the mob.
Subscribe to Mobbed Up, The Fight for Las Vegas, season 2, today on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Serving Our Kids Foundation's mission is to serve homeless, at-risk, and food-insecure children in grades K through 8 throughout Southern Nevada. During the pandemic, Serving Our Kids has seen a 42% increase in the number of children served, providing more than 4,500 meals to kids in over 100 schools weekly. Serving Our Kids is powered by community support and volunteers. To learn how you can help, visit servingourkids.org.
Nevada Newsmaker Studio is located at the headquarters of the Nevada Trucking Association. Motion and purpose are a truck's greatest virtue.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
Back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're always pleased to welcome back to the program Randy Thompson. She is State Director for the National Federation of Independent Business. Pleasure to have you back.
Thank you.
Most people, as we're taping this on the morning of August 11th, will be thinking we're going to talk about the bills passed by the Congress, but no, you want to talk about the freeze in Brazil. So what's going on? Because we have a lot of coffee drinkers out there.
Well, so Brazil is experiencing the most devastating frost in decades, and along with supply chain issues, you're going to see a drop in production of coffee and probably a 30% increase in the price of coffee. So you better go stock up.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is seriously bad news for a lot of people who are probably watching this right now as they're drinking their coffee.
Get on Amazon, buy a bunch quickly. Yeah. But it just shows you how the world is flat. And when it comes to an economy, the world is flat. I think COVID taught us that. But we're so dependent upon other countries for our supplies. And when the supply chain's a mess like it is right now, that only aggravates issues.
All right, so when do you see, not an end necessarily to these supply chain breakdowns, but a slowing of it to where we get back to some kind of normalcy? I mean, at least now we can get toilet paper and a plenty.
Right.
But when are we going to see other things, should we be ordering our Christmas presents for 2022 now?
Well, I was just listening this morning to a business channel that said, 6 to 9 months, you're going to see things kind of coming back because you're probably going to have an overproduction. By 2022, you're probably going to be overproduced in chips that were missing in cars because they're doing so much to catch up. So, relatively, I'm not an economist, but 6 to 9 months, I'm hoping to see these supply chain issues kind of mellowing out. September 1st, people can no longer get the, September 4th, no longer get the extended federal benefits. So you're going to see a lot of people going back to work in September. Let's hope a lot of them are truck drivers because we got a lot of stuff that needs to be moved. And then from there, I think you're just going to see the productions catching up. And hopefully, I would definitely be buying your Christmas gifts now for this winter. But hopefully by, you know, towards the beginning of 2022, we're going to see a little more leveling out of supply and of personnel.
You're seeing a lot of manufacturing being discussed about being moved back to the United States. Do you think that that's a long-term deal, or do you think, as you were saying earlier, the world is flat, that we're going to go back to seeing supply chains coming from all around the world?
Well, under this administration, with the tax hikes they're talking about, I don't see an incentive to come back, bring anything back to manufacturing. This morning, I'm sure we'll talk about the infrastructure bill that was just passed, and now they're talking about budget reconciliation, and they're actually talking about tax increases on businesses. And it's like, okay, for all you businesses that, you know, closed, for all you people that lay people off and want to bring them back, for all you businesses that struggle to keep food in our table and toilet paper in our stores, no thanks to you for doing nothing. I mean, there's just no incentive from Congress right now to incentivize people to go back to work and to go back to bringing back jobs. So I don't see this administration, and I can't even say it's even business friendly. It is just, let's see what more we can take out of these people after a year and a half of taking and taking and taking and us doing our best to keep this country going.
All right, so let me play devil's advocate and say that with the amount of money that is being put back into the economy through both of these bills, the second one is not passed, of course, yet, and will probably be a Democrat-voted bill only. Mm-hmm. But that's going to be a ton of money coming into the economy.
Well, if you look at how the economy survived the past year and a half, it got very consolidated. You know, we all stopped going to our local store to buy shoes, and we went to Amazon. So that pattern continues. Bigger businesses are getting bigger. Smaller businesses are dying. And until we see a shift in getting back to supporting locally owned and operated businesses and incentivizing them to stay in business, I don't see us changing. And I think the infrastructure bill, it means that we're going to be buying more concrete, and, you know, Granite Construction and Q&D and a lot of those big companies can get back to growing, and that is critical. Those are local jobs. I'm sure that the Nevada Cement and Western Materials and Pyra Materials are very happy about the infrastructure bill. As long as it is spent on, and that's what the beauty, I think, of this bill is the states can actually determine what projects to pick on. And we definitely need infrastructure in our state. And the infrastructure bill is providing some good money to Nevada.
All right, but then doesn't that money filter in through the rest of the economy? And so, yes, your big companies are going to be doing well. They're going to be hiring people. People are going to be available now because suddenly they're going to realize that, oops, we don't have that extra 1,200 plus or unemployment, so we better go back to work. Mm-hmm. And then that money, because that's the same reasoning that comes out of TRI when they talk about taxes that Tesla isn't paying at this point until their abatements run out. But the amount of money being spent on employees and their paychecks filters through the economy into millions, if not billions, of dollars.
Well, so the $1 trillion infrastructure bill, only about half of it is "quote unquote" paid for. They're expecting that future taxes will pay for the other 500 million, but it's also a 5 to 8 year plan.
Billion, by the way.
Billion, sorry, 500, but you know.
Million. Yeah, no. Seriously.
God, I can't even count to 12 this morning. But we're looking at 5 to 8 years of those infrastructure projects being put out. So it's going to be a slow trickle of money into the economy. It's not going to be, here you go, because you can't spend it that way.
No, of course. You can't do it because you don't have the employees. You don't,
you don't have the supplies.
You can't have a cone on every corner because that's what you would happen if you suddenly infused, say, $6 billion into Nevada road construction. You wouldn't be able to drive anywhere.
Yeah. So I think it's going to be a slower push out of the money, which is kind of what we need in infrastructure so they can plan. But is it going to help GDP? They're saying about 0.03 impact to our GDP. So it's nominal. It's not insignificant, but it's nominal. And I think when we're looking at an inflation rate of 5.3, you've got to go, okay, we're growing GDP, but we're growing inflation here.
All right, but now let's look at the inflation numbers, because the last 2 months, the new inflation numbers came out today, a little bit higher than last month. Mm-hmm. But those are really based on what's going on with the economy right now. I don't personally, as I look at all these different sources, I don't anticipate this going on, and neither does the Fed, you know, for a long period of time. It looks like that's going to come back down. And even today, OPEC is being asked to increase their production, so oil prices will start to come down.
Right. Well, I wish we had the XL pipeline so that we could have a more dependable supply. I hope that the government stops this stops saying they're not going to frack on public lands because that's our oil supply. I know I'm afraid that if family farms are stuck with a stepped-up basis tax that they want to revoke, then you're going to see family farms closing, which means you're going to have less meat production. I mean, I went and bought a steak the other day, and it was $20.99 a pound. This is a steak that I bought 3 months ago for $11.99 a pound. Inflation is real. Gas that was $3.60 a gallon is now $4.50 a gallon. These are real. And the people that are hurt the most are those that are on the lower end of the income scale. And that's why I'm just so concerned about. We are really hurting our lower class at this point with these price increases.
Okay, do you think there's a percentage of gouging going on, especially with gas prices?
Well, they had a gas gouging bill pass in the legislature last year, and I think you're going to have to justify it. But I think if refining is down, if supplies are down, if OPEC's production is down, then prices are going to go up. So I don't know. I mean, that's a question to ask somebody in the gas industry, I guess. But I can't see, you know, my local grocery store raising rates beyond what they need to. But when you've now got to pay people more, when minimum wage jobs now start at $12. When you're
12?
Having,
come on. Who's making 12? Start at 15.
Okay, well, yeah. I'll say the Panda Express started at 12. But but yeah, I mean, now what were $7 and $8 an hour jobs are now $12 and $15 an hour. We're going to see that price increase. And I don't see those prices going down because I don't see the price. People are now looking for other jobs. We had the highest number of people quit their jobs in June than ever because they say, I got a plethora of jobs out there. I'm going to go take this one and quit this one. So now you have to incentivize people to come back to work and you have to pay them more.
All right. And I think this is an interesting point too, which is that when you raise the minimum wage, whether it's by virtue of the government or by virtue of the marketplace, then everything else is going to go up because mm-hmm. businesses are going to have to raise their prices. So if you were paying, you know, $150 to have your windows cleaned, it's going to cost you $200. Mm-hmm. And in my opinion, nobody's going to say no because they need their windows cleaned.
Yeah. No, and that's the we're going to feel it at the consumer level, and we're already feeling it at the consumer level.
Because I mean, I think that is the inflation that people can feel. Like you were saying, between the meat prices and the services industry, where people can't get people to go to work. But I also think you're 100% right, which is I don't see the wages going down. I think once somebody has been paid $15, $18, $20 an hour to do a job that was previously way lower than that, you're going to have a hard time finding people unless you have, you know, an incredible source of workers. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't seem likely to me at this point.
Sorry, I'm just reveling in the point that you just said I'm 100% right. I don't think I've ever heard that. I'm just enjoying that moment for a minute.
Well, you may have heard it from me, but maybe not from everybody else. Let's take a break. We'll come back and exalt Randy Thompson some more after this timeout.
Get in on the Tamarack Casino's $175,000 Hidden Treasures Guaranteed Giveaway now through September 30th. Earn entries in the weekly drawings and win big during the two $35,000 grand prize giveaways. Your good times are at Tamarack Casino.
What do you count on? You count on your power every day. At NV Energy, we've always powered what's important to you. But we're not looking at the past. We're focused on the future. While our standards are high, our rates will remain low. And our commitment to renewables isn't just meeting standards, but leading the way. Because you can count on more than just your power. You can count on the company who brings it to you. That's our promise. You can count on it.
Each day, the Children's Advocacy Alliance partners with leaders, legislators, and families across Nevada to improve children's health, education, economic well-being, and safety. We recognize Nevada will be no better than the state of its children. Be a part of this change. Be a supporter of the Children's Advocacy Alliance. For more information, go to caanv.org.
Southwest Specialties has been making the homes and businesses of Nevada beautiful for more than 20 years. Their experienced designers and craftsmen create the walkways, backyards, water features, and a variety of outdoor cooking areas that add curb appeal and value to your investment. Call today or visit them at their website and see how they can make your outdoor spaces special. Southwest Specialties, creative, distinctive, beautiful.
Get in on the Tamarack Casino's $175,000 Hidden Treasures Guaranteed Giveaway now through September 30th. Earn entries in the weekly drawings and win big during the two $35,000 grand prize giveaways. Your good times are at Tamarack Casino.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Randy Thompson. She's the state director for the National Federation of Independent Business. Your thoughts on the economy in Nevada and the governor's place in it?
Well, I'm very frustrated. I sent a letter to the governor a couple weeks ago. Don't write me back. It's okay. Don't expect it. But according to a survey that came out yesterday, Nevada ranks the fourth worst among 50 states for employment recovery. We still have, 1.9 million people collecting unemployment, and we have 190,000 people still on unemployment. I think that's what the number is, and 90,000 job openings. So nationwide, we have more job openings than we do people on unemployment. We have 10.1 million job openings and 9.5 million people on unemployment. So
what do you think the governor should be doing?
I don't think he should have accepted the federal extensions. He's out there giving $5,000 checks away to kids that get a vaccination, but what's he doing to incentivize workers to get back to work? Some states have, if you stay on your job for 6 months, we'll send you essentially 1 month of unemployment. So that, because now that you're off unemployment, we'll give you an incentive. So there's ways to incentivize people to go back to work. Now, asking them to wear a mask after they're vaccinated does not exactly incentivize people to go back to work. And if if you could show me the science that says masks really help, I'd be all in, but there's really not a lot of data there. So I'm just concerned that we're not sending any kind of a incentive for people to get back to work.
Okay, you were saying that he's offering $5,000 to people to get vaccinated?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry.
So there was this, he had a $5 million fund.
Right.
The Vax Nevada. And he's giving checks out.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But it's not $5,000 to one person.
No. It's $5,000 to whatever these, there's like 3 days, they're doing 4 days of Vax stuff.
That I'm aware of.
Okay.
I just thought you were talking about
$5,000. And one person's supposed to get $1 million, which to me, why would you do that? Why not just give more money to more people? But, okay.
I got to tell you, the whole idea of lotteries to get people to get vaccinated, it just blows my mind. And it just shows how much misinformation is out there in the public.
And this is the same vaccination that all the people under the Trump administration say they'd never take because it was a Trump administration thing. And now it's good because it's a Biden thing. It's not changed. It's the same vaccinations. And it's not. And it's still an emergency. It has not been fully approved by the FDA. For a lot of people, that matters.
I thought it was interesting that there was a call for George W. Bush to be appointed to be the vaccine czar, to come out and say yes, as they had done in other places, that you should be taking the vaccine.
Did he say no?
No, I don't think the offer has been made.
Oh, okay.
But it would be an interesting bipartisan move to get conservatives, who are supporters of George W. Bush, to come out and be supportive of it.
Yeah, he is less challenging as Trump is. So, but yeah, I think more people like George Bush. So,
let's
not true conservatives, but more people like George Bush.
let's talk about the mask for a second, because I think that part of the masking was done because there were several counties and states that were saying, "Don't go to Nevada; it's a hot spot." And this would seriously impact the gaming industry, and so I think that this was a place where the governor and his staff just felt that we have to do something, and this was the least offensive thing you could do without putting all the other horrendous burdens that were going on. And don't you think the public is voting? You go to places, and I'm not going to name them because I don't want to get them in trouble. But you go to certain places, and people are not wearing the masks. Their businesses, their indoor spaces, but the people have voted. It's like half the people are saying, we're not doing this.
Right, and I think it's really their choice. I'm vaccinated personally. I know of people that people have had COVID. They are not as susceptible to spreading it. We've so politicized science, and that's what I'm the most frustrated about. I wish we just had a science source I could trust. And when the CDC says they're going to invoke a moratorium on evictions, and they have no authority to do so, I can't even trust the CDC, let alone Fauci. I just want somebody I can trust to could really give us some good science on this. We've known this stuff for a year and a half, and there seems to be no credible person out there that anybody believes. And that's what's frustrating.
Okay, but doesn't it also point to, I think, a fact that it's all evolving? It's not, you know, we evolve politically, but we also evolve scientifically and medically. And what doctors and scientists knew at the beginning of COVID is different from what they know now. I mean, you know, ventilators, for example, put everybody on ventilators, and then they discovered, no, that is not the best plan. I mean, you know, we tend to have, small g, a godlike thought about doctors, but they're not. They're human mm-hmm. beings, and they learn and grow as this situation, you know, progresses. Is that not true in your opinion?
I think they are evolving. It's just, after a year and a half, they kind of know the death numbers of this, and it's a very low percentage. They know the people who are vulnerable, the diabetics, those with COPD. And what is the government doing to tell people how to build a stronger immune system? Are they telling people to take vitamin D and vitamin C and do some of these things that are helping you eat healthier, lose weight? I mean, where's the government on saying, hey, if you're going to make me wear a mask mandate, why don't you say, and also lose 10 pounds? Why not? You're already there. So just, it's frustrating to see that the people that are dying have these underlying conditions, but we don't want to talk about what's causing those underlying conditions. There's such a bigger picture here of how unhealthy America is. And the quality of our food chain. Let's look at what we're putting into chicken and into beef and into milk. But I won't go there today.
I think you just did.
I won't go in detail, at least. We have such an unhealthy nation, and diabetes and heart disease are both chronic issues that we ourselves make ourselves this way. And you are, you know, you're the epitome of that. You have recovered and you've stayed healthy for the, what, 20, 30 years now?
Since going on 30.
Your heart attack? Yeah. Yeah. You're amazing. And you, I mean, the way you eat, you took it seriously. Not a lot of people do that.
It's hard in the face of all the marketing to be able to fight back against that, because if you watch television, you read newspapers online or whatever, you as a consumer are faced with so many what look like delicious choices, and yet if you go behind that scene, you know, I drive down the street and see the long lines outside of certain restaurants, and it's upsetting.
Yeah.
But you know, when you are given that much marketing, and that's what we do, mm-hmm. And that goes on all over the world, it's not just in the United States, yeah. We have turned so many other countries unhealthy. Go to Europe, you know,
yep.
the Italians are not eating a 2-ounce portion of pasta anymore, they're eating American style, so, you know. Let's take a break, we'll come back, and we'll talk about retail when we come back after this.
Retail's impact on Nevada's economy? Enormous. 8,600 businesses, large and small, employing 145,000 workers. And last fiscal year, retail paid tax on nearly $60 billion in sales. We're the Retail Association of Nevada. We support retail. We help it grow. And we mean business.
RANNV.org. Dimitri Prine here for Design Outdoor. At Design Outdoor, we specialize in all hardscapes, pavers, and walls you'll need for everything, from wonderful small yards to full-blown outdoor living. And we only refer the best contractors to make your vision a reality. Our store and backyard are located at 11600 South Virginia, just north of DeMonte Ranch Parkway. Visit designoutdoor.com or call us at 851-9499.
I'm men's rights attorney Marilyn York, and because I represent men in all family law matters, women often call me gender traitor, woman hater, and even disgusting. So why represent men and target myself with these offensive monikers? It's simple. Children with fathers in their lives are 6 times less likely to drop out of school, 15 times less likely to go to prison, and 5 times less likely to commit suicide. So ladies, you can hate me, but please love your children more than you hate their fathers.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
I'm back on Nevada Newsmakers. We continue our conversation with Randy Thompson, State Director of the National Federation of Independent Business. I was going to go to retail, but the rebirth of retail, but you want to actually give praise To our two senators.
I do. So the Senate started voting on the amendments that will be part of the reconciliation package, which I don't know if it's going to go anywhere, but I want to call out both Senator Rosen and Senator Masto for supporting Senator Thune's amendment, which essentially protects small business, family farms, family ranches from what's called a stepped-up basis. They're trying to revoke that. It's a tax thing, to stepped-up basis tax, and it's huge. It's a huge deal for small business, and I just want to say thank you to Senator Rosen and Masto for supporting small business and Nevada's agricultural community.
It's been interesting to watch Senator Masto, who was brought into her role by Senator Reid, so it wasn't exactly, you know, let's bring in somebody who's in nonpartisan here, but all the reports I get from county commissioners and city officials in rural Nevada are telling me that they are having great experience working with Senator Masto, and Senator Rosen has attached herself to a lot of that work. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a very smart way to go for Nevada.
I'd agree. I'm actually having a conference call today with Senator Rosen's staff on some health issues. I talked to the head of the Nevada Beef Council, and they've been chatting with Senator Masto on some issues. So I think both senators have really reached out and realized that we are not one Nevada, but there is that rural part of the state. And small business and agriculture are a big player in it.
And you also have Mark Amade and Susie Lee on this caucus that is trying to get things done in the middle.
Mm-hmm. The problem solvers.
Yeah, so mm-hmm. maybe there's hope for not only our state but our nation.
Well, I think the bipartisanship has been so tough to find, and I'm pleased to see, even though I know a lot of conservatives don't like the big $1 trillion bill, I was pleased to see that some people were able to come together and get something good done.
And that's where we have to leave it. Randy Thompson, always a pleasure. And you're going to be jumping in for me when I go on a little vacation here. So thank you very much for doing that.
You're very welcome. Party!
We'll be right back.
Brian Culpa Photography was born in the rolling hills of Massachusetts. And now he can help you experience the stunning beauty of Nevada in a whole new way through the power of flight. Flying has always been a passion for Brian, and at Brian Culpa Photography, he can make your imagination soar. Brian has the creative mind and tools to tell your unique story. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
Safety. We all think about it. You think about it when he buckles in, when you check your mirrors and put away your phone. RTC thinks about safety too. In fact, we create it. Center turn lanes mean fewer blind spots. Bike lanes keep cyclists and you safe. Roundabouts reduce injury collisions. And all these crosswalks are designed to keep families like yours safe. Safety is your priority and it's ours too. Every day, in everything we do.
Pro Group Management is the place where companies can find workers' comp solutions that are designed to meet their specific business requirements. As regulations evolve, Pro Group takes a proactive approach to clear the path to make sure your business stays ahead of the curve. Knowing your workers' comp program is optimized, you can focus on other important matters related to your growing business. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
Don't forget, another way of watching Nevada Newsmakers is to subscribe to our YouTube channel, Nevada Newsmakers, on YouTube. We'll see you on the next broadcast.